three parts to this that I think we need to explore. Grow in, grace, and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'm going to take grace and knowledge of before we look at growing in. Before we can grow in grace and knowledge, we need to understand what these terms actually mean. So firstly, what is grace? Well, cardinals and bishops in the Roman Catholic Church are referred to as Your Grace. It's a title. We can say of a lady or of a swan that they have grace or they're graceful. It's a mode of how they are. As Christians, we often say grace before meals, a prayer of thanks for God's gifts of food and drink. And here we have Peter instructing us to grow in the grace of Jesus. So what is grace for a Christian that we need to grow in? You may have heard that as Christians we receive grace and mercy, and that of those two words in, mercy is not getting what we do deserve, that is death as a penalty for our sin, and grace is getting what we don't deserve, that is renewed relationship and eternal life with God as a gift. So this grace that we're meant to grow in is not something that we can earn. It's given as a gift. It's given by God, and it's given freely to all who turn to Him. And there's one of the key aspects, is turning to Him. How do we grow in it? We turn to God. We need to remember, first of all, the price that Christ paid was not just dying on the cross. Consider Gethsemane, when he sweat drops of blood while praying for strength to remain obedient to his Father's will. Think on that. What is the inner turmoil and stress that causes somebody to sweat drops of blood while praying for strength to remain obedient? Consider the indignity of being stripped in public, the beatings with the cat o' nine tails that takes the skin off and cuts the flesh to the bone. Consider the crown of thorns thrust on his head, the nails through his hands and feet. But most of all, consider the anguish when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? The broken relationship with his Father as he took our sins on himself. We grow, first of all, in this grace by understanding what it cost to give it to us. And then we need to understand as we continue to sin that we're continuing to add to the burden that Christ has paid in our place. He died once for all sin, past, present, and future. And so as you recognise the sins that you continue to commit, realise and understand more fully the grace that Jesus holds out to you. Grow in the grace of Jesus. So then what is knowledge of? Well, let's think first and compare that to knowledge about. I know about Queen Elizabeth II. I know from the facts that I can read in the paper and see on TV about her, and I can Google fact about her on Wikipedia and other information sites, facts such as she was born in 1926. She was the elder of two daughters to the Duke and Duchess of York, who later, when Elizabeth was 10, became the King and Queen of the British Commonwealth. She married Philip in 1947. She acceded to the throne in 1952. She's the mother of four children, and so on, and so on, and so what? None of those facts have any implications or influence in my life whatsoever. She is my queen, but I don't know of her. I simply know about her. I have no knowledge of what makes her who she is as a person, not just a queen. I have no knowledge of her, what she's passionate about, what she likes and dislikes, what she holds dear, and how she feels about her life as queen, as wife, as mother, and as grandmother. Knowing about someone has no impact, no influence in our lives. On the other hand, I know of my mother these things. She was one of 11 children born in 1934, so when she was just four, World War II began. Her father went off to war. It's my mum. Her father went off to war, leaving the family to fend for itself. He survived and returned, but died at a relatively young age from lung disease after being gassed in the trenches. I never knew him because he died before I was born in 1955. My mum doesn't come from a wealthy family, but having to make do with even less in tough times during the war, she now values everything today that she didn't have as a young woman. She served in the Land Army in post-war England, met my dad, who was a young soldier, didn't have to go to war to fight, but he did serve overseas in the post-war occupational forces. So mum was a young mum when dad was overseas. They married when mum was in her late teens. I'm the second of four children. She was just 21 when I was born. Her life has continued to unfold as we came to Australia as a young family in 1965 when she was 31 and I was 10. My mum's now 81 and still living as independently as she can. As a young person during the war, she learned not to be a burden to her mum and siblings. As a young mum, she learned to be self-sufficient while her husband was overseas. And she doesn't want to be a burden to anyone now and strives to remain independent. I have so much knowledge of my mum. You can see how it affects me. I understand how she thinks and feels, what she holds dear, what she dislikes, and most of all, I understand how to please her. Like surprising her by turning up without warning when I visited last Wednesday, and then by fetching her favourite Chinese takeout so that we could share a Merry Christmas Chinese lunch. So what's the difference? Knowing about someone is an intellectual exercise. It doesn't affect how we live. In answer to some questions that Adam asked me out at Christchurch this morning, I gave my head to Jesus when I was 16. I had intellectually worked out that Christ was the only way, but it didn't affect how I lived. But as I grew to know him more and more, he took my heart when I was 27. Knowing of someone, understanding them, can be a significant influence in how we relate to them, how we behave around them, and how they shape our lives. So is Jesus just an intellectual exercise for you to know about him? Or are you getting to know of him so that as you understand more of who he is, he affects your life more and more? So Peter encourages us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. First, how do we grow in the grace of Jesus? By recognising that as we continue to sin, we're adding to the burden he took to the cross, and by understanding the price he paid, and yet he still offers this grace freely to each of us. All we have to do is keep accepting it as we confess our sins to him and ask his forgiveness and his help to overcome sin in our lives. We talk about a cycle, that's something that turns back on itself. This is really an iterative process. As we learn what we do wrong and we confess it, we grow and move forward. As we learn what we do, more of what we do wrong, we confess it and we move forward. How do we grow in the knowledge that helps us to move forward? The knowledge of Jesus. Well, how did I grow in my knowledge of my mum? By spending time with her in conversation, both with myself and with other people, by listening to what she's passionate about, and by observing how she responds to different things in different social situations. So how do we grow in knowledge of Jesus? By spending time and listening to him, listening to his conversations and observing him in social situations. Now, we may not be able to be with him physically in the same way as I can be with my mum, but we have everything we need in the Bible to grow in our knowledge of him. As Michael has taught us, if we read our Bible, we can learn how he responds to and overcomes temptation. Remember the 40 days in the wilderness? We can learn how he cares about the sick and what he's concerned about for those left when loved ones die. Remember Miriam, Martha and Lazarus? We can learn how and why he feeds the hungry and he commands the elements. We can see what makes him angry. Remember when he drove the money changers out of the temple? We can learn what makes him sad, what makes him compassionate. We can also learn what he asks of us when we follow him. to love God, to love one another, and to make disciples, teaching them of his grace and his compassion for them, and so on. And then as we grow in knowledge of him and the things he expects of us, we understand more of what he expects, what he can do for us, and how he wants to be in our lives. And as we grow in our knowledge of him, we then continue to grow in the grace he extends to us. So have you seen anyone growing in grace and knowledge of Christ? I often refer to a guy by the name of John Merriman, who was the first minister I sat under at Tregear Church of England all those years ago as a young man, young teenager in fact. Other people like David Hall and Alan Piper, Richard Goscombe, Adam, my brother and sister Kevin and Audrey Dentler. I look at them and see how they allow God to work in their lives, and I strive to mimic them. You can do the same. Look for people who you see are growing in grace and knowledge and mimic them. Ask them, find out what they're doing to grow and copy those things into your life. Have you yourself been growing in grace and knowledge of Christ, especially during this past year? Tell others what it is that helps you to grow, not to blow your own trumpet, but to encourage them. So by your example, they will be encouraged to grow too. Will you continue to grow in 2016? I pray that you will. Will you pray that I will?